Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 183 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Joanne Wardle. Joanne lives in Leeds, which is in Yorkshire, England, and she is a radiographer. Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, I'm really glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. Nice to see you face-to-face. You're a member of our community, so I've gotten to know you there. I always love to put a face with a name.
Yeah, and it's different to just seeing photographs, isn't it?
Well, I know, because on the screen, your photo is tiny. And now that I'm so old, I just see colors unless I have like my reading glasses. But it is always nice to meet someone face-to-face. So you know I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Well, it was actually this podcast.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I had made the decision, and the longer version of my answer will obviously come to this, but I'd made the decision that I needed to lose some weight. I'd reached a weight I wasn't happy with, and I often have trouble falling asleep, so I like to listen to podcasts just to sort of doze off to. I thought I should sort of combine that with a weight loss podcast. So I thought, I just Googled good weight loss podcasts, and I wish I could find where I'd actually... It popped up, but I remember seeing the words delay, don't deny.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, that sounds good. That sounds like something I'd done previously and had success with. And I thought, right, I'll listen to that. And I was hooked from the minute I listened to the first one. And then that was in November 2019. I started at the beginning of November. However, I didn't start clean fasting until the 13th of November, and I remember it very clearly.
Was it because you weren't sure? You didn't know?
I hadn't picked that bit up from the podcast straight away.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Yeah. And then when I thought, oh, right. And I'd been doing everything except I'd been having Diet Coke. Because Diet Coke, it's got no calories. Why would that
matter?
Well,
you know, that's right. And, you know, with those of us with a history of diets, you know, we relied on diet sodas to kind of get us through, right?
That's it. And I would buy a big
packs. Little did we know.
Yeah, big packs of cans of Diet Coke, and I'd have one at lunchtime. And then I would, as you say, white-knuckling it through the rest of the day. And the day I went, oh, right, get rid of this, switched it out for a black coffee, I was away, and I never looked back from that day.
That really is great because, you know, I know it makes a huge difference. And if we can just get people to try it, they'll realize.
Huge difference.
So you just started right off. As soon as you heard about it, you're like, I'm ready.
Yeah, it just made so much sense. Previously dabbled with 5-2. I'd had success. I'd combined that with all sorts of other bits and bobs. I had lost weight previously and got down to a goal. But it was hard because again, there was no clean fast in the 5-2. It was you have 500 calories and you do what you like with those 500 calories. And my 500 calories were nicely spread out the day in cups of tea. Because this is...
Yes.
When you're British, the cup of tea is very, very important.
And and I remember when the 5-2 came. Well, I guess it was not too far long after it came out. I, of course, was always looking for something, you know. But it came out of England. England is where 5-2 was born, Michael Mosley. Yeah. And he came up with the 5-2 plan, and it worked really well for him. And it was two 500-calorie days. And then the rest of the time, you just, you know, quote, eat normally, right? And I never lost any weight on 5-2. And those 2 days were hard.
Yeah. Well, actually, it never quite worked because you're like this. I would manage to get through the day and I would have the cups of tea, which did not make it hard, but it still sort of worked. It made me hangry.
Right.
It was hard. I'd get to, and I could go all day and I'd be absolutely fine. Then I would sit down in the evening, start my 500 calorie meal and go, oh no, we're not stopping at 500 calories. Mm-hmm. And I would eat. So I could go all day without eating. And then I would eat in the evening. And then I'd go, oh, I failed. I'll do it again tomorrow. It's like, what does that sound like?
You had an eating window.
I had an eating window.
Every day. Yeah. That's how it was for me, too. I can remember when I was trying to do it. And the first book that I read, I think, that was about an alternate daily fasting approach was Dr. Johnson's Up Day, Down Day, something or other. I can't remember the exact name. Have you heard of that one?
I've heard you mention it, but I've not read it. Yeah.
But it was all calories. And it was, you know, one day was your low calorie day and the next day was your up day and down day, up day. But the same thing. Every time I was on a down day, I'd be like, well, blew that one. I guess tomorrow will be a down day. It was hard.
And it didn't twig at all. But because I wasn't clean fasting then, because I was having my cups of tea with milk, it was still very, very hard. So although I did lose weight doing that and combined it with other days of low calorie, although I don't know how to count calories. You'll be proud of me for that. I know.
It's not easy.
No. So I would just, you know, not enjoy it. So when I got to the end of it and got to my goal, I had finished. You know, I had reached goal. So I just started eating normally again. Then the weight crept back up again. I have now been doing IF since, say, November 2019 and going strong. And I have been in maintenance for a year. And it's still easy. I mean, my windows have changed.
I love it.
A lot.
Well, it does. You know, my windows, they've changed over the seasons of my life, whether I was teaching, you know, I had a different window then versus now that I work from home versus when I have a podcast. Like today, I haven't eaten yet. And I'm waiting to open my window. We definitely love that it's flexible over time.
Yeah.
So when you started, how much weight did you want to lose?
Well, I didn't weigh myself for a very long time because I have a complicated diet history, which I have mentioned to you. As a teenager, I was anorexic for just a brief period. And I know that IF is not recommended for people with a past medical history of anorexia, but to my credit, I didn't realize that because I hadn't read the book.
Well, yeah. And I want to put in a little disclaimer here for anyone who has gone through, you know, an eating disorder. I imagine at the time when you were a teenager, you probably went through counseling.
I actually didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get, it wasn't severe. I managed to counseling with my GP. I had a friend who was very supportive and we worked through it and it never got severe. I never got like hospitalized or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it is important to acknowledge it even when it's mild, so that you...
What made you think or realize that you had a problem? Did you just realize it, or was it like a parental kind of a thing?
It was my friend, okay, who was very protective of me, and she knew what I was doing, and she knew I was lying to her about when I was eating, and, you know, and she made me look at pictures of myself, and, you know, because you only see it in pictures, you know, that...
Oh, yeah.
Either way, whether the weight's on or the weight's off, you only see it in pictures. And she made me look at them, and... You know, and it was tough, but, you know, we got through it. And, you know, now it's 30 years ago. I'm now 50. And that was back when I was 18. And I have never, ever relapsed.
That's fat. See, yeah, I think that's huge. You recognize it. I think you were heading down that path of... But you were not so far down it that it was you needed medical treatment.
No.
So for anyone who has been, you know, if you've been diagnosed, if you've worked with a counselor before, I would always say don't start intermittent fasting without talking to a counselor or your doctor, or be aware of the signs. And if you see yourself slipping into an eating disorder, I mean, you know what kind of disordered behavior you had before, right, yeah, Joanne?
And have someone who's looking after you. Now it's my husband. He's very supportive. He knows exactly what I eat. He laughs at how much I eat because I eat more than he does on some days.
But, yeah, I'm more likely to eat things that I don't tell people than this. Tell people I'm eating things that I'm not. I'm the opposite with that. But it's important to know the danger signs. And if you had seen them in yourself, you would have stopped.
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But back to the original question about how much weight I had to lose. I didn't have any scales for quite a while. And I bought some scales because I realized I was putting weight on. And I stepped on the scales. At now it's 13 stone 4, which in your terms is 186 pounds.
Okay.
So one of the first things I did, because obviously in the UK we always talk in stones and pounds,
right?
And this is a useful tip for people. You might want to do it the other way or switch to kilos. Switching to pounds, which I didn't understand, the numbers meant nothing to me in pounds, took away all the emotion from the numbers.
Okay, that's a great tip.
Yeah, it did. So they're just numbers now. They don't mean anything to me. They're just numbers to... I'm kind of getting my head around them now, so I can talk
in pounds. So, just to explain it, and for anyone who missed what we're talking about, Joanne was used to weighing herself in stones.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of emotion tied up with numbers.
Yeah.
And so you switched to weighing in pounds.
Yes.
And because you didn't have a connection, like 186 was just a number, mm-hmm. then you no longer felt stressed out about the number. That is a great, great tip.
Yes,
I love it.
Really helped me. I switched my scales, so my scales weigh in pounds. They don't show me in stones anymore. It's really useful. So I stepped on at 186 pounds, which I was shocked because I had never...
And how tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Okay.
Which I know is not a lot to a lot of people. It was put me in the overweight, put me... trying to think how many pounds, but a good stone into the overweight.
Right.
The only time I'd ever weighed anywhere near that was I'd weighed 13 stone. So that's 182 pounds, I believe, when I was pregnant with my second child, just before I gave birth. So, and he was a very big baby. He was 11 pounds, 11 ounces.
Oh my gosh, that is a big baby.
So I was big then, and I was now weighing more than that. And it was like, that's time to do something about it.
You know, you're right. With my first baby, I only got up to 163 because I weighed like 123 the day I got pregnant. I was little. Yeah, I had just been dieting, and then I got pregnant. So 163 was my pregnancy weight. But with my second, I was well in the 180s for me, and I'm only 5'5". And so then when I finally got above that and I wasn't pregnant, I'm like, oh, no, I am above the weight that I was when I was pregnant. With Will was 9 pounds, 5 ounces, and he was 2 weeks early.
Oh, wow.
So he was going to be a big one.
He was
a big one, but so I get it. You were heavier than your pregnancy weight.
Yeah. So my first goal, and this is another, I think, a great tip that I did. My first goal was just to, like a lot of people, to be back into the not overweight by BMI.
Right.
And so that would be 12 stone, which I've forgotten what it is now in pounds, but because I can't remember. And then I would set goals below that. And I had a spreadsheet. I really love numbers. So I actually have a degree in maths as well as my degree in radiography because I love numbers so much.
I love when you say maths.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. Math. Yeah.
Maths. Oh, yeah. I do love it though. Okay. Yeah. Degree in maths. Yeah. I love numbers too.
So I have a spreadsheet. And it has mm-hmm. all the different sort of little goals that I had. So there was, you know, just to be no longer overweight, and then 7 pounds below that to be nice and safe within that. And then sort of little goals, all sort of 3 or 4 pounds apart. And each time I hit one of those goals, that was the only goal I was aiming for.
One at a time.
Yeah. If I got lower than that, great. But that was the one I was aiming for. That was to celebrate. I'm there. Right, now we keep going.
New goal.
Yeah, new goal.
So you didn't have like one huge goal like I'm going to lose 60 pounds. Instead, you were like, I'm going to have little mini goals along the way.
But all those goals were set out, but each one of them, I would have been happy to if I stopped at that point. And I gave them okay. little names. There was the one which was 140 pounds, which I called my crazy goal. Because I was like, no way was I ever going to get down to that. I hadn't seen that weight in such a long time. So I was like, I was not going to get down to that. You know, I'm 50. You don't lose weight when you're 50. You know, it's it's normal to keep your weight on. That's menopause and all those kind of things. So I was never going to get there. So it was my crazy goal. So I weighed in this morning, but I do weekly things, but Monday is, you know, the beginning of the week, so I haven't got an average yet for this week. I weighed in this morning at 136 pounds. So I am wow. below my crazy goal.
I love that.
And this is my cutoff. I have now on my thing, everything below that is now red. I am not allowing myself to go any lower. And that's perfect. Part of my tied in with my history, and it's very much red. Mm. You do not go below that.
You don't want to be underweight.
I do not want to be underweight, and I'm not underweight. I am, you know, I am still 10 or something pounds within
right the normal yeah. BMI.
So I'm nowhere near, but I have set that thing that this is a good weight for me that I am happy at, and I have
I love that
no intention of going any lower.
I love that. You know, if we look at our bodies and find flaws, I mean, you know, I've got flaws, I've got things that are not perfect. There would never be a number that would make your body not no. have jiggly bits, no, right? Yes. So it's good to say, okay, I'm done.
Yes, yes. But maintenance is fun. So
it really is.
So one of the reasons I asked if I could do this podcast was to have another goal, because I'd run out of goals. So it's like, because obviously it was probably about 3 months ago that I emailed you. And it was like, I'd like to maintain to that point. And then once I'm up here, I would feel I'm safely within maintenance, because maintenance was scary to start off with.
Right.
It's like, how do I do that? Yeah.
Maintenance is scary. I mean, I can remember the very first time I ever thought of maintenance as scary. I never had before, even though I had yo-yoed all around. I remember I was talking to my stepmother one day, and I had reached my goal through a crazy diet. This is in the past, crazy diet time. And I'm like, I'm almost there. I think I hadn't reached it yet, but I was almost there. I was like, I'm almost at my goal. She's like, well, the hard part isn't getting there. It's staying there. And I was like, oh, what? That was the first time that had ever crossed my mind. And of course, she was right.
Yeah.
Right? But not with intermittent fasting. No. I hadn't had trouble. But with every other thing I did, I never stayed there. And neither did I that time. I yo-yoed right back up. So once you get to your goal, you're terrified that you're going to regain all the weight because you always have before.
Exactly, yeah.
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
I don't feel that I will at all. I'm having fun experimenting. I've, you know, changed them out because my window right from the get-go was, I'm a late eater. I'm a grazer. So I went straight to 24. And my window was between 6 and 10 in the evening because I am a very late eater. Mm-hmm. It was quite a good way to set it in that I did not eat before 6, which is when I got home from work, and I stopped eating at 10. So sometimes I didn't start at 6. Sometimes I'd start at 7. And sometimes I'd be done by 9 and go, oh, I've eaten quite a lot. So, you know, I would stop. You know, it just fell naturally into a good window.
So you just had those boundaries. You had the 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. That was your boundary. That reminds me of Dr. Bert Hearing in his original Fast 5 program. And his boundary was, I think he opened his window at 5 p.m. and he closed it at, you know, what was that, 10 p.m., 5 to 10 p.m. That was his eating window, 5 to 10. And so his boundary was start at 5, end by 10. But that didn't mean he ate nonstop for 5 hours, just like you. Sometimes you start later, sometimes you end sooner.
But while I've been in maintenance, I've experimented more. I have been hungrier. I mean, part of that is to do with some of the exercise I've been doing as well. So sometimes I'm hungry at lunch. Today I had lunch, which this reminds me, but if I have lunch, I don't graze. If I have lunch, I have lunch and I stop. And then often tell myself, I've had lunch, I won't eat this evening. I've had lunch, I've had a big lunch, I won't eat this evening. Not once have I succeeded in doing that.
That's me. That is me. I am that person.
It's just like, I find it easier to go all day without eating than to do that. So it comes to getting home, I'm like, nah, I'm going to have something.
I've got to have something. Yeah, because I'm hungry. I could go all night and never eat and be fine. But once I eat, I'm like, all right, lunch is not a good window for me.
I'm like your Chad. If I do have lunch, I then don't eat again at all for the rest of the day until I get home, and then I will eat my evening meal. But right. I don't say it's two windows.
You know, they'll be like, my window is closed. I'm like, no, it isn't. That's not how it works. But okay. I saw you eat that lunch. Yeah. He has two windows. Like, maybe it's like a door. I don't know. Yeah. That's the kind of door that has the top and the bottom, you know, the Dutch door. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've also experimented with, this was a silly experiment, because I've read a lot of books.
I see them behind you, but I see mine. There's mine.
Oh, yeah. All of yours. Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
But yeah, so experimented with bulletproof coffee.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I wanted to see what would happen. So I didn't have it during my fast. I had it to open my window because and I thought, let's see if I have it with this, if I can wait longer to eat. No.
Hungrier,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I had that and I was just like, nah, I've got to eat straight away now. So it just absolutely.
It just wakes up my appetite. Anything like that wakes up my appetite. Yeah. The only things that do not wake up my appetite are black coffee, plain sparkling water, plain regular water. That's
and warm
it.
Water, yeah. Hot water.
Yeah, I've got my sparkling right now. It's not warm water season quite yet.
Oh, we're just getting there now. I do like my warm water before I go to bed.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah. This is my new warm water glass. I have a
oh, that's cute. Okay. I wish everyone could see it. It's like a mug, but it's like made of glass.
Yes.
It's pretty. I love a pretty glass. I realized not that long ago that one reason I really loved to drink cocktails and wine was more about having it in a beautiful glass than actually what was in it.
Yeah. I do still drink alcohol, but tend to be only on a weekend. I like beer and I like wine. But what I have moved on to, and I know you've talked about this previously, is kombucha.
Oh, yeah, it's yummy.
Yeah, and I brew my own kombucha. You've got to start brewing it.
I know. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, you have to.
I'm like, I'm going to, but it just seems like
it's so easy.
In the moderator group sent me some, and this was sourdough bread. You know, I like to bake bread. She sent me sourdough bread starter, and I killed it. I'm like, if I can't keep sourdough starter alive, I'm afraid I would kill kombucha.
Oh, I can't even keep plants alive. So I have kept my kombucha alive. I even neglected it because it was my lockdown hobby.
Okay.
It was kombucha. And so I started it about a year ago. and it's still going strong. I ignored it because I ended up brewing too much and I had too much to drink. So I left it in a, it's called a hotel, where you put them all together. You put it all in, just keep it in a hotel and just feed it a little bit of tea every now and again. And then I was ready to start again this week and it's just started perfectly.
Wow. And do you add flavoring to it?
I do.
What do you add to it?
So I use fruit. It works really well. It makes it nice and fizzy with fruit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a bit.
Okay.
Sometimes I would a bit like it too fizzy.
Okay. Is there a book that you would recommend for starting off or learning how to do it? Where should I start? I really would like to. I love fizzy things.
Yeah. I started off, there's loads of stuff on the internet, of course. And then I joined some Facebook groups. But I know you won't be doing that.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
And even they get argumentative. It's about kombucha.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
What do you have to argue about with kombucha, though?
Oh, gosh. Whether you need to keep the pellicle bit that people call the SCOBY, but the SCOBY is actually the liquid. Whether you need that when you brew in or not, whether you can throw that out.
Technique.
Oh, whether you can use plastic or glass bottles. Oh, okay. If people will argue about anything.
There's always something. You're right. That's true. I do not miss that.
I haven't used a book, but there is so much information on the internet.
So fizzy. I would like it to be fizzy. Oh. So fruit is your tip for that. Yes. What are your favorite combinations?
Well, tonight I had watermelon.
I'm not a melon girl.
Oh, yeah, no, I love watermelon.
I don't like any melon. Isn't that weird?
Basically, any fruit you like, you can use.
Okay.
So
strawberries, blackberries, those are my favorite.
Strawberries and blackberries together.
I'm a berry girl. Ooh, I bet that would be good.
Yeah, I did a mixed berry one. It was gorgeous. Yeah, so...
Okay, lemon. I would like that. I'll try it. So, you know, you were just talking about that you're drinking less alcohol during the week, but you like beer. I have recently discovered non-alcoholic beer.
I don't like the taste of non-alcoholic beer. It tastes chemical.
I did not think I liked it either, but I have found one that I really like, Heineken 0.0.
Okay. I will have.
I don't know if you can get that there.
I will have a look.
But, I mean, to me, I was like, why in the world would you even drink that? What is the point? But now that I am drinking a whole lot less, Heineken 0.0, it just really makes me feel like I'm having a beer. Mm. But it doesn't have the alcohol. It doesn't bother me at all. I feel great after I drink it. And the thing about it is you don't want to drink like two or three. You just one and you're done.
I mean, I'm like that with beer anyway. That I'm quite happy to just have one drink and that's me done.
Well, I'm not sponsored by Heineken 0.0.
Not yet.
Me explain. Well, that would be fun. I could get. But the others are not as good. You know, when I've been places and I'm like, what do you have that's a non-alcoholic beer? And they will, you know, some of them are just not very good.
No,
you're right.
They just they taste of chemicals. And I really seem to be sensitive to the taste of them. So, I'll see if I can get hold of that. The very low alcohol, the ones that are like 0.5%, you know, really low alcohol ones. I like those. They're good.
Like 0.5%?
Yeah.
Is that? Okay. I don't know what I've tried. Not very many. But I really didn't think I would like it because I do not like non-alcoholic wine.
No.
At all.
No.
All the wines that are non-alcoholic, I've tried. I bought some expensive ones. I guess they saw me coming on Instagram. I got an Instagram ad for non-alcoholic wine. And I was like, well, I could try this. They talked about how great it tasted like real wine, but no alcohol. No. Lies.
No.
When I do drink, it's dry farm wines, but it's just not very much of it. I just have to really watch it.
Yeah.
So you're just rolling along with a flexible eating window. And you said that today you had lunch.
Yeah. And
then dinner.
Yeah. And then another one. So I had lunch because I had a stir fry and rice at work. Mm-hmm. And then I came home, made myself an omelette with samphire and mushrooms and tomato and some wedges on the side, and then my husband made some lamb chops and this nice salad and some potatoes, so I had some of that as well. So
love it. So you have more flexibility in maintenance, you know, that's the key.
Yes,
you know, that's what I found too. And you said that you found that you were hungrier.
Yes,
in maintenance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it's learning to trust your body, and if you're hungry, eat. And then there'll be other days where you're not, and you've got to, you know, actually listen and go, am I hungry? Yes, I actually am hungry, so therefore I should eat.
So sometimes people will get scared or frustrated. They're like, now I'm at maintenance and I'm hungry, or what am I doing wrong? And it's like, nothing.
Yeah.
You just listen to your body. Your body is telling you, because, you know, think about it, to lose weight, you're taking in less food than your body needs, so your body draws on your fat stores.
Yeah.
But once you no longer, you got to get your energy from somewhere. Once you're no longer intending to draw from your fat stores,
yeah,
you need more food to balance that out. And it's not as simple as calories in, calories out. We know that.
Definitely
but
not.
You do have to have that energy in balance,
yeah.
You know.
And so, and if you become more active, which that was one of the things, once you lose a weight, it's much easier to exercise.
Yeah.
So you're more inclined to exercise and then you use
So you've added more in now?
Oh, yes. Well, this is something else I can thank your podcast for. It was when I listened to Melissa Denny's podcast.
Uh-huh. She's great.
Yeah. And she was talking about running. And I've run in the past. I've only ever run to try to get thin, you know, and that's mm-hmm. and I was doing it for all the wrong reasons. It's like,
right.
I want to be thin and I want to do that. I want to be able to eat by running and I want to outrun a bad diet, which we, as we all know, you can't do.
But you cannot.
But she talked about why her, and I can't even remember what she said, but something she said resonated so strongly with me about doing it for the right reasons and doing it to feel good. That very day I was listening to it in the car on the way home from work and I was like, I'm going to go for a run. And I got home, I put my stuff on, I downloaded the Couch to 5K app and I started Couch to 5K.
Love that. That is
day.
A great way to get started, because I wouldn't know how to start
wonderful.
If I was going to run. I mean, I'm not going to run, everybody. I'm just I am more likely to make kombucha than I am to run. But... But that would be a really great way to get started.
Oh, it is.
For someone who's like really has always wanted to, because just like with fasting, you don't start on day one and fast for 36 hours.
No.
You don't get up off your couch and run the 5K.
No. You run for a minute on the first one. And it is so, it's still hard. And there's days when you do your first sort of continuous 20 minute run, you're like, I cannot do that. And then you do it and you go, oh my God,
wow.
I'm so good.
So you really start with like 1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute running. And then walking and then another 1 minute of running. It really is a slow start. And you can go back and keep doing the same weeks over and over mm-hmm. again if you want. And then before I knew it, I was there. And now I do regular 5Ks.
Wow.
I do park run. You have park run in America, don't you?
It's I don't know what that is. Right.
People who know it will know what it is.
A park run?
Yeah. It started in London and it's a timed 5K, but it's not like chipped times. Everyone brings their barcode and it's all very informal and it's wonderful. It's free and it's absolutely, and it's such a community. The one that I go to, shout out to Woodhouse Moor Park Run in Leeds, was the first park run outside of London. And now they are across the world. They're everywhere.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah, I haven't heard of it, but since I'm not a runner,
no,
that doesn't mean we could have them left and right.
And, and they're held in, as the name suggests, they're held in park.
In a park.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
And organized by volunteers, and it's fantastic. So I do those regularly now, and my time is, it's not great, but it's getting there and it's getting faster, and I'm really proud of myself.
I'm glad. I know that you are.
Yeah.
It feels good to have a goal and then to meet that goal. I mean, I'm just like in awe. I've never been a runner, like I said, but. You know that saying, if you see me running, you better start running too, because something is chasing me.
The funny thing is my husband is a runner. He runs marathons mm-hmm. and half marathons all the time. And he's been trying to get me running for ages. And it's like, so nothing I've said has made any difference to you, but you listen to one podcast.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of Chad as well, because back in the day, I don't know, years and years ago, 30 years ago, probably, he was a big golfer. He golfed all the time. And I was not interested in golfing. I don't want to golf. No.
It ruins a good walk.
Well, yeah. Now, you know, I'm retired from teaching. I've got more time. We have, you know, we have a house near Myrtle Beach, which is known for golfing. And so I was like, you know, a friend of mine was like, you should start golfing. And so I told Chad, I was like, I think I'm ready to start golfing. He's like, no, you didn't want to 30 years ago. I don't want to do it now. And I'm like, what? That's not fair. Maybe I'll become a golfer.
See, I think my husband will get his own back on me, though, when he starts deciding to do intermittent fasting because he's heard someone recommend it to him. not me.
He's not interested in doing intermittent fasting.
No, but he's very supportive of it. He doesn't need to lose any weight. He's right. Extremely slim. He's never been any other weight is
got it, yeah.
And but he naturally, he doesn't snack, so he's never sort of been the kind of person who would be spiking their insulin all day. So I think he just works with his body quite well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a graphic. I think it might be in the Obesity Code or even in one of Jason Fung's blog posts or maybe both. It's a graphic with the traditional, the way we used to eat. And it shows, like, I think it shows your insulin on a graph. And it talks about, you know, it shows how you eat breakfast, your insulin goes up, and then it goes down because you are not snacking or having all those beverages. And then it goes above the baseline and then it goes below the baseline. And the baseline is like, you know, when you could potentially burn fat.
Yeah.
So it sounds like your husband has that naturally,
yeah,
that wave that just never got messed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas you look at what mine used to be and it was like all up and down like the stock market, up, 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 up.
Yeah.
Like housing prices, up, up, up. Right. So, yeah, I mean, if you've never had a crazy way of eating, or I could see how, you know, 3 meals a day if you're not snacking.
Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah.
He probably also doesn't eat a ton at a time, does he?
Oh, I don't know. He can.
Really? Chad does not. He'll eat like a little bit, and I'm like, okay. He'll eat less lunch than I would eat if I was going to eat lunch.
Oh, we do like our food.
I love the food. So running, is that it for your exercise, or is that?
Yeah, pretty much. I did start Zumba at the very beginning, but then COVID hit. And
right.
That got stopped. But I've loved Zumba in the past because that's not exercise. That's just dancing.
It's just fun, yeah. Right? Yeah, Roxy is a big Zumba goer. She loves it. I think she goes every day frequently she'll go. She loves it. It's her community. You know, she goes with her friends and they Zumba.
And then I did get a vibration plate, which I used sort of in between my running. I think that prepared me for running quite well as well. I think my legs were ready, because when I've run in the past, I've always had really painful legs, and I just haven't this time. So I don't know whether...
That's great.
So I think it might have helped with that.
Yeah, the vibration plate is the only piece of exercise equipment I've used long term. You know, I've bought things in the past,
yes,
you know, exercise bikes and
rowing machines.
Other exercise bikes. I never bought a rowing machine, but, you know, I buy stuff. The one thing that stuck around, I had treadmills. Like, we bought a house, or not the house we're in now, but the house we had before this one. The lady who lived there before us had like a, I don't know, kind of like an exercise studio in her basement. She had all this Nautilus weightlifting equipment and two treadmills.
Wow.
So we bought the house and it came with it. We thought that was a plus. She's like, we're leaving the exercise equipment. And I'm like, that is fantastic. I'm going to use Nautilus. Are you familiar with Nautilus equipment? I don't even know if they still make it. But it's those stationary weightlifting stations where you do your legs on one machine and your arms on another. Like, they were very, very expensive. I think she had like $100,000 worth of exercise equipment. But
you're definitely going to use it every day.
Yeah, we were going to use it every day. We ended up having to pay someone to dismantle it and take it out of there when we turned it into a rec room. And then it was suddenly a huge liability, and I understood why she didn't move it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for leaving it. Wait, no. Please don't leave it.
She was laughing at you. Yeah.
But again, that was me with organized weight loss. I had big plans. I mean, not weight loss, organized exercise. Mm-hmm. I always had big plans. I was going to do it, and then I just get really bored with it.
Yeah.
But I have not gotten bored with the vibration plate. And also, I have a rebounder, Bellicon rebounder that I jump on.
Yeah.
And I'm not bored with that. It doesn't hurt that I have to actually step on it to get to the vibration plate. Because they're both behind the sofa.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to stand on the rebounder to get to the vibration plate.
Might as well,
so I'll just jump on it.
Bounce, little,
Then I'll get on the vibration plate. Then I have to bounce to get on off the other way, too. So I'm literally stumbling over. And I hula hooped the other day. I hadn't done that
I have
for a
hula
while.
Hoop. It's one of those ones that's hanging in the sort of in the shed. But I used to do that a bit. But I find it actually makes you quite sore, your skin quite sore. Rather than,
I hadn't done it in a while. So my waist was sore. And I can actually feel it now. I think I did it like 2 days ago. And I'm like, ooh, I should do that more often. Because it really is. It's fun. I'm really good at it. I did like 100 in one direction, then 100 in the other direction. Then I mean, I can do. I have a weighted hula hoop.
Yes, me too.
I talk about it in Delay, Don't Deny. The weighted hula hoop. Anybody who thinks they want a hula hoop and thinks you can't, a weighted hula hoop makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. It just, you think, I can't hula hoop. You try it with a child's hula hoop and you can't do it. Then you get that and you're like, oh, look at this. I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the key is to moving our bodies in a way that feels fun.
Yes.
Sitting on that weightlifting equipment, even though it was like $100,000 worth of weightlifting equipment, that one didn't seem fun.
No.
It wasn't fun. It was boring. And, you know, walking on that treadmill for me was not fun. Now, are there people who that is fun for them?
Yeah. Well, it's like, yep, just like running.
Running.
Yeah. So I didn't think it was fun until that whatever it was just clicked. And I just went, okay, I want to run.
And you were doing it for fun and you felt good in your body.
Yes, that was it.
And I think that's important as well. When you feel good in your body, it feels good to move your body.
And it's so much easier to do it after you've lost the weight. This is the thing. So I didn't do, because obviously it was during lockdown that I sort of lost all of the weight, which is different to what most people did during lockdown. Yeah. So I sort of couldn't go out and do organized exercise, and I hadn't discovered that I wanted to run yet. So there was no Zumba or anything like that. So I just lost the weight through fasting. And then only...
Yeah, and you lost about 50 pounds, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I was just doing some math in my head. Yeah. And it took about a year, is that right?
Well, I'd say, it took probably about a year to get to what I thought was maintenance. And then I have continued to lose. I didn't think I was, but it's only when you sort of see it on a graph, because the weight goes up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And then it's only when you see it on a graph and you see it maybe going up and down, even the weekly weight's going up and down, but there's that downward trend.
That trend is still slightly there.
So over the last year, I've probably lost 6 pounds, which, I mean, if you told somebody they were only going to lose half a pound a month, they'd freak. They'd like, that's not what I want to do. But that was after I hit maintenance. I lost that.
And that was when you weren't trying.
That's
when
I wasn't trying to lose
anymore. Your body just naturally let go of some weight. Yeah. That's the way it works. And you couldn't rush that.
No.
Or get frustrated. Your body has really done what it wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So let's talk about food. What do you like to eat?
Oh, well, I have you to thank for Feast Without Fear. That's
I'm glad. I wrote that in 2017, and that one is, some people don't even know I wrote it because I never really publicized it much and talked about it much, but I was very proud of that book because I learned so much writing it.
Yeah, it sent me off on a journey because I read it and thought, wow, this is amazing. Of reading other people's, like Tim Spector, I mean,
love him.
Yeah, and I've got both of his books, I've read both of those, and it just made me think. So now I very much eat for my microbiome. I do work very hard on that, but I will also eat whatever I want within reason. I have cut down naturally on the amount of sugar that I eat. I'm not sugar free, but I certainly don't eat a lot of sugar. In fact, my tastes have changed so much that I don't like sweet things the same. In fact, interesting story, I went out for a meal before I started IF to this lovely Persian restaurant near where I work. At the end of the meal, they bring you a little baklava, which is like this very sweet pudding thing. And it's very, very sweet. And I ate that and it was delicious and it was wonderful. We went there again just a few weeks ago and they brought out the baklava at the end and I had a spoonful and went, I can't eat this. It's too sweet.
Because you were remembering
sweet.
How good it was. And you were like, I'm going to eat this again. Oh, and it wasn't what you remember.
It was so sweet. And it was just, so I was like, no, you're just being silly. So I had another spoonful and I was like, nope, this is too sweet. I cannot eat this. And I pushed it away and everybody else ate this.
And you also like accused them of changing their recipe something.
Oh,
you know,
Pringles. Like they definitely changed their recipe, I'm sure.
Well, it's like me the first time I didn't like a Starbucks pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah.
And I had loved them. I like lived for pumpkin spice latte season and, you know, and like so many people, it was delicious. And then the first time after my tastes changed and I tasted one and it tasted like, I swear it tastes like bug repellent or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can taste all the artificial stuff in it. And it's like, wow, my taste buds have really changed.
Yeah. The Pringles, because I love crisps. Sorry, chips. Mm-hmm. You've probably called
chips. I still do love chips too. I
love crisps. The UK crisp market is all about the flavours.
Right. Oh, here too.
Salt and vinegar, absolutely. And I still eat salt and vinegar crisps. I still love them. But rather than eating the giant sharing bags to myself now, I will have the little individual bags.
A little serving.
Yeah.
And quality matters, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to get some chips, I'll get a bag of really high quality, like organic chips that are fried in, say, coconut oil.
Oh, I'm not that good.
And it's just a whole different experience, but that you still have, they taste so much better.
Yeah. But Pringles, I used to love Pringles. I used to be able to just sit and eat a whole thing of Pringles myself. And I had some, and I was like, oh, these Pringles are off. they're off. They're not right. And then someone else, and they went, no, they're fine.
No,
like,
this is how they taste.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. And I'm like, but they just don't taste like food.
Yeah. The first time my favorite pizza didn't taste right, I was like, they have changed this pizza. This is not what it used to taste like. And my whole family was like, no, this is how it always tasted.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all are lying to me. It's not. And we would order pizza every Friday, like that from that place. We got it every Friday.
Yeah.
And for me to suddenly just no longer even like it was astonishing.
Yeah.
So now my husband's like, do you want to order pizza? I'm like, no. I'll make a pizza, though.
Yeah.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The only thing I will absolutely not have, because I will have sugar and I will have that. I mean, I wouldn't have Pringles because they're horrible, but is
right. It's not delicious.
But I won't have artificial sweeteners now. That is the one thing. And I know you're the same on that.
I'm the same way. It's on my absolute no list because I can't think of any reason to.
No, exactly.
I don't enjoy drinking it. I don't enjoy, like, it's like with stevia right now. You know, I used to like be addicted to stevia. So I had gotten so used to it that I loved it and like craved it. Even when I would get one of those crazy, you know, pumpkin spice lattes, I would still add a little stevia because something about the flavor of it, I was like addicted to it. But now I won't, like if I'm getting kombucha, for example, a lot of kombuchas might add a little stevia in there.
Yes. Yeah.
Here, the bottled ones. And I always read the back and I'm like, put it back on the shelf if it's got that in there.
Why? So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not good. So yeah, that is on my no list. Is there anything else you just will not have?
No, that's it. That's the only absolute no. And then everything else is just try to be good. I'm not low carb. I'm not anything like that. I am definitely less carb and less refined. And I am really...
Less refined carb.
Yes, yeah. And yeah. I am absolutely reducing the processed food within there. And it's hard at first, but then it becomes just natural that you just...
It does.
That you just want food that is food. You know, like, it's like today, all the food I've had today has been food. You know, it's like...
Actual food.
Yeah.
In Cleanish, which will be out already by the time this podcast comes out.
Yes, I got the delivery date through for mine.
January 4th?
Yeah.
But that will be in the past when this podcast is out. But in Cleanish, I talk about food versus not food. Mm. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, Pringles are not food.
No.
I mean, it's energy. It's a source of energy for the body, but it's not feeding your body.
No.
We need food that actually is feeding nutrients and, you know, the building blocks of a healthy body. And that all the stuff that's in real food is there for a reason. The fiber, the micronutrients, the macronutrients, the phytochemicals, all that is there for a reason and our bodies know what to do with it. But imagine how confused our bodies are when you put in Pringles.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They're probably like, what is this?
Exactly.
And then they send the, you know, that wasn't it. That's not food. Send down something else. That's why we're never satisfied.
That is an important thing, the what it is that makes you satisfied. Because I know sometimes you have to find that thing in your window to close it, that what is your body. And I found it's usually cheese.
Oh, cheese is so good. That's very European, right? Oh, closing your window with some cheese.
Yes, I love cheese.
I would get a cheese plate when we used to go on cruises before COVID. And I am not going on a COVID cruise where you're all wearing masks and distancing.
Oh, no.
I'm like, nope, I'll just stay home for that. But no, eventually, I hope. But I would get a cheese plate for dessert.
Yeah.
Often on a cruise.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to close that window.
Yeah. You just don't need anything else once you've had your cheese.
That's
it.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just fits all those, you know, ticks all the boxes, right? So have you had any non-scale victories that you think of to share?
Definitely, plenty. The first one, very early one, I had a fungal nail, toenail infection. And you hear this one all the time. And it just cleared up. And it'd been there for years. And it just, I was just like, it's just gone.
Where'd it go?
Yeah. And then also, I've always, my whole life, been prone to mouth ulcers. I think you call them canker sores in...
Right.
Yeah.
We say ulcers, though. My mother always said ulcers. All right. So
I was always had them. And then they were so painful. And I would have them almost all the time. You know, it was rare to not have one. I've had two since I've started.
Oh, wow.
The first one cleared up really quickly. The second one, I think I was a little bit run down and it took a little bit longer to clear, but it was still so much better than normal. And that is a huge one. I was getting dry eye, but that was a new thing. That was since I'd put on weight, I was getting dry eye and that's gone. I was having, I have to whisper this one, bladder control issues.
Look, we women, we should claim that. I mean, I started having those problems after the birth of my first son, you know, after having babies.
And I was really surprised to find that cleared
up. It changes the pelvic floor.
And I couldn't, yeah. But it cleared up with IF. And I thought,
that's awesome.
That doesn't make any sense. How does that make sense? But then I realized what it probably was is all the visceral fat was probably pressing down on my bladder. And once the visceral fat had gone, there was nothing pressing on it.
Yep, I've got no problems there. I also think that my vibration plate helps tighten up the pelvic floor. And I also think my rebounder helps.
Yes, definitely.
Because I can jump on the rebounder all day. I don't have any trouble.
You've got to hold it in.
But I have in the past, but I haven't. It's been since before intermittent fasting. So I don't know how much of it's intermittent fasting, how much is just the weight loss. But I really think the rebounder and the vibration plate help.
I then have had one huge one. I've had for many years, for about 20 years, I have a skin condition called granuloma annulare.
Okay.
And it's...
What does that look like on you?
It looks like little rings of raised dots. And I've had it under my arms and in various places, and it spreads. And the doctors have no known cause and no known treatment. So it's kind of, it'll either go away or it won't. And some people, it becomes really disfiguring. Mine wasn't too bad at all, but it just was spreading. And it became embarrassing. It was sort of under my arms. It made me...
And it looks almost like a little ringworm.
Yes, that it does look like
ringworm. The reason I know about it is because one of my sons has that.
No way, really?
Yes. Yes, Will, my younger son. The one, he had a whole bunch of chemical sensitivities. And I talk about that in Cleanish. And yeah, when he was little, he had this weird thing come up on his legs.
Yeah.
And we were like, what's happening? It was also when he was having a lot of trouble with his chemical sensitivity before we changed his diet. And the doctor diagnosed him with granuloma annulare, which I had never heard of. So there it was. And then as he got older, in his teenage years, he had it on his forearms.
Yes.
Like here on his forearms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had it there and there. At first, I was like, I think you've got ringworm. Mm. That's ringworm. And he's like, it is not ringworm, because it would come and go, you know, in certain times of the year, like the fall, it would come back.
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and it's his annuloma granulare.
And I believe it's connected to gut health.
Yeah, I do too.
I think there's a connection there, because it has mine. It's not gone, but it has improved so much that you wouldn't notice it. I can now wear sleeveless tops without noticing it. I have a patch on my hip that is stubborn. It's improving, but it's stubborn. And I think if I keep going and I keep working on my gut health, I think it's going to improve it. So, well, that's what I'm hoping anyway. And on the gut health, I did, because I've always suffered from constipation, sort of like for years, and that's better. That's just better.
That's awesome.
And I did the Blue Muffins, and
did you?
And I was something crazy, like 14 hours, and it was like,
I was fast. I can't remember my number, but it was really fast.
And I was like, wow, that's a lot faster, because I was expecting it to be like days, you know. And
it was right. Like, oh, 14 is good. That means you've had improvement.
Yeah, really.
In your transit time.
In the transit time. Yeah. So that was fun. And then the last one is skin tags.
Okay.
We talk about skin tags all the time. Now, I didn't really have particularly bad skin tags. I had a few on my neck, and I had one on my boob. And the one on my boob was quite big. And I didn't really think of it as being a skin tag. I thought it was just something that was there. And it was only when you were talking about it recently on the podcast that I thought, hang on a minute, they've gone. And I hadn't even realised. And I went and had a look.
You don't even miss them.
Yeah,
you realise.
I went and had a look.
You forgot it was there.
I went and had a look at it. No, they've all gone. The ones on my neck have gone. The one there's gone. So, skin tags gone. And I know they're a sign of insulin resistance. And I didn't think I was insulin resistant because I hadn't been overweight that long or anything like that. But clearly there's something there. So they've gone. So that's good.
Well, that's amazing. I know that feels fantastic. So is there anything that you struggle with?
Oh, well, I struggle with you'll hear this from most British people. Tea is always going to be the big one.
You want to put some milk in your tea?
I can't drink black tea. Black tea is disgusting. I can drink green tea, but I cannot drink black tea. It's just not natural. So I am... Every morning I would have a cup of tea, and my husband would always make me a cup of tea, and it was... I'm never going to do this. And it is why a lot of British people fail, I think, with IF. A lot of my friends who've tried it, I can't not have my cup of tea. But I was like, right, I've got to do it. I've got to have the black coffee. So I had the black coffee. And now I actually can't imagine having... I'd still drink tea. Oh, sorry.
In your window, though.
That's how I open my window. Every night I open my window with a cup of tea. And I often close with a cup of tea as well. So I have to get my tea. Got to get my tea levels up.
Your cuppa.
My cuppa, yeah.
Right.
My cuppa.
Yeah.
Gotta have your cuppa. So gotta put that kettle on.
Well, good. You've found a way to make it work.
I have.
You're just delaying instead of denying.
That's it. And on my birthday, I had a very long window on my birthday. Well, actually, I had an up day because it was following a down day. I had a cup of tea in the morning and I was like, oh, actually, I quite miss my black coffee. So so I am proper over the morning tea now.
Well, that's good. But it was hard. Is anything else? Is that the only thing?
There's a couple of other things. This one I do want to share with people because they might see it. When I started losing weight on my legs... When the weight started coming off, it did not come off evenly. It came off in chunks. It was horrible. It looked like somebody had taken bites out of the fat on my legs.
Oh, no. It probably scared you.
Oh, it was horrible. It looked like...
You're like, what's happening?
Yeah, it looked like massive cellulite, like really, really big sort of chunks of cellulite. And I was like, oh, my God. I thought, well, they're getting thinner, but they're not very nice. So I thought, well, I'll be able to cover them up. At least they're thinner, even if they're horrible. And then it just all evened out.
Oh, good.
And it's gone completely, you know, very quickly. My legs are smooth. I have no cellulite. And it's just gone. But it is sort of warn people not to be scared if that happens, because it is scary.
It can certainly be a part of the transition.
Yeah. And then the other thing was clothes. Buying clothes during lockdown is, you know, because I needed smaller clothes. So I found my son's clothes were actually a good source of them. So I started wearing my son's jeans.
So funny. Love it. Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting? Or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I mean, the obvious is always the clean fast. Just it's a given. That's the clean fast, yeah. And also my set realistic, small but realistic goals. But then finally, my big one is, you hear a lot of people say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I don't know if you've ever tried running a marathon, but they're pretty hard work.
No.
I don't want to be running any marathons. So I say, it's neither a sprint nor a marathon. It's a walk in the park.
Oh, I love that. That's way better.
It might get you there a little bit slower, but you're going to enjoy the journey.
Yeah, if I was going to do a marathon, it would have to be like a walking marathon, and I would need a week.
Yeah.
Well, that is really good advice. Well, Joanne, I have really enjoyed talking to you today, and thank you so much for being here and sharing your story.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com, and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.